All right. Good evening. Man, it's wonderful to be back here for this old-fashioned camp meeting. I love it. Praise the Lord. I cut my teeth in a camp meeting over in Mississippi. Camp Zion. Dr. Percy Ray is one of my heroes. Yeah, he's up there with Jesus now, but I'm telling you what, he was a giant. Open your Bibles, please. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. And would you stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God, if your health will allow you. Mark chapter 6. I begin reading with verse 45. And straightway, he, that is Jesus, constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side. That's where we're headed. And I think we're just almost there. Go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into mountain to pray. When even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and he cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for the heart was hard. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. I'm going to preach with the help of God this evening on the voyage of life. You may be seated. Just a simple message. The voyage of life. I lead us in a word of prayer as I proudly. Please pray right there where you're sitting in your heart. Because only God can make this service what it ought to be. Let's pray. God, now, Father, our God in heaven, God, Father, so good to be safe. Thank you, Jesus, it's all because of you. Thank you, God, for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for sin. Oh, God, thank you. There's one God. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for bridging the gap between us and unholy people. And God, you are holy and awesome God. Oh, God, how great you are. You're just everything God the Bible says you are. Thanks for the good music we've already heard. Oh, God, thank you for each one that's here. Thank you for all these, our precious brothers and sisters in Christ. God, there's just no people like your people. No God like you. Thank you, God. You're God, and beside that, there's none else. Now, Father, thank you, God, for this meeting. Thank you for these men of God. Jesus' name. Thank you for each church that's represented here. Bless all these churches. Bless all these men of God. Jesus' name. God, send mighty revivals to our churches. Give us a spiritual awakening in our nation. Please turn this country around. Oh, God, you know we need you in this country. Father, if it's one of the season lost, God, in Jesus' name, save that soul. Don't let anybody in this meeting die without God and go to hell. God bless Brother Thrift as he comes. God use him mightily. Oh, God, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What I want to do with this passage is just simply allegorize it. Dr. M.R. DeHaan, some of you have some of his books in your library, in your study. I have, I guess, most of them, maybe not all of them. But Dr. DeHaan said this. He said, all Scripture has one basic primary interpretation. He said, all Scripture has many practical applications. He said, some Scripture has a prophetic revelation. Well, I hope we can deal with some applications here this evening that will be a blessing to your heart. So, after all, the Christian life is compared in some places to a voyage. To a voyage. I think of what Paul said over here in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17, I believe it is. Let me find. 1 Timothy chapter 1. No, verse 19, I'm sorry. Paul said, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. So right there, it's very obvious that Paul is comparing the Christian life to a voyage. See? So we're talking about the voyage of life. We sing songs along this line. I love that song, Ship Ahoy. And that song, the old Ship of Zion. Well, when God saved you, when God saved me, he put us on board. And I want to deal with that. I see a beautiful picture here, all the way from the new birth to the new Jerusalem. All the way from the time we got saved until we reached the shore on the other side, and that's heaven. See? So I want us to look at this. We'll notice some simple thoughts, and I'll let you go. We're going to notice salvation for the voyage. Sanctification on the voyage, supplication for the voyage, there's storms on this voyage, there's security for the voyage, and last of all, the second coming of Jesus Christ at the end of the voyage. Something simple, just something God gave me back years ago, and I want to share it with you. Notice, first of all, there is salvation for the voyage. We get that from verse 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship to go to the other side. They had to get in the road. That's the only way they could cross. At this point, it was about 4 miles to the other side. They couldn't jump it. They couldn't run across it. And I don't think that they could walk across it neither, because this one tried it and he went down. Talking about Simon Peter, that's what would have happened to me too. No, I probably wouldn't have got out of the boat. I'd been like Brother David Epp. Some of you know David Epp with the Rock of Ages prison ministry. He said, I neither like to fly nor to float. You have to know him and appreciate that. But you got to get on board. Look at that breeze God's sending in here. We prayed for that. Woo! Amen. But anyway, coming back where we were, I want to ask you something this evening. Are you on board? Joining the church won't put you on board. Getting baptized won't put you on board. Giving tithes and offerings won't put you on board. Holding a position in the church won't put you on board. You got to be born again. That's the only way you can get on board. I remember I tried to get on board back before I got saved, and I didn't make it even to first base. And you won't either. You got to be born again. I'm telling you, Jesus meant what he said when he said what he did. He said, you must. It's an imperative, see. You must be born again. Are you born again? Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus? Thank God. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved. Saved. Thank God. I got saved 50 years ago. This month. It was this month. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. It's my birthday. My spiritual birthday. Praise God. Amen. But anyway, coming back where we were, notice the Bible says, and straightway he constrained the disciples to get into the ship. Look at that word, straightway. That's one of the key words in Mark's gospel. You'll find the word forthwith and the word immediately numerous times in Mark's gospel. Well, straightway, immediately, and forthwith all mean the same thing. See? So what he's saying here is immediately. He constrained his disciples to get into the ship. See, there's an urgency about this thing. And brother, if it's ever been urgent, it is now. Because I believe this thing's about over. If you plan to get saved, you plan to get on board, you better hurry up and do it. The time is short. The day of the Lord's at hand. Yes. Straightway, immediately, immediately. See, it reminds me of what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2. The Bible says, now's the accepted time. Now's the day of salvation. Yes. Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You can be here today and gone tomorrow. You better make sure you're saved. Yes. Can anybody down here pick up channel 4, channel 7, or 21? Let's see your hand. All right, I didn't know where y'all could pick that up down here. Not. I'm not that up, I guess, on the news media. But some of you may have seen this on the television set last night. You may have seen, they showed it. They actually showed it on all three channels, channel 4, 7, and 21. They showed one of my friends. It was one of my friends. He was down here at the Washoe Dragway, and they took off down the strip, and he lost control of the car, running at a high rate of speed. And the car did this number here and went over and ran head-on into that concrete wall on the side. And then the car started rolling over, and I mean just over, just kept on rolling, kept on rolling. Then went over the wall on the opposite side and injured a man and a 3-year-old child. But he was killed immediately. See, I'm telling you, friend, when I saw that clip, I know what Brother Jarvis said today, he pulled it up on the screen there, and they showed a real vivid picture of it. And they showed him when he actually showed him, when he backed up, you know, there where they do the burnout to get ready to take off. And he's up there where the light turns on. And I'm sitting there watching that, and I'm thinking, he's only a few seconds from eternity. He's only a few seconds from eternity. I'm telling you what, when you get in them automobiles and go up down these highways, you better make sure you're safe. I was preaching in this very meeting back years ago, and a member of Northside Baptist Church, a grown man, came up to me after the service. He said, you better be careful in Interstate 85 out there. He said, it's a loaded gun. I've never heard it described any better, because it is. There's people get killed out there all the time. I'm telling you, you better make sure you're on board. What if you were in one of those cars and were snapped out into eternity just like that? America's been called the land of sudden death. I never seen so many freak accidents in all my life as there is in this country. Here today and gone tomorrow. And the Bible says in Proverbs 29:1, the Bible says, he that being often reproved and hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I'm telling you, God's not playing games. Hell is no joke. You better make sure you're born again. You better make sure you're saved. What would happen to you if you were to die this evening? Would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? There's only two places. You're either going to heaven or going to hell. There's no two places. He must be born again. Look again at verse 42. Look again at verse 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. Look at that word constrained. I looked it up. Read what a number of authors said about that. It's a strong word. He didn't just say, boy, I think it'd be a good idea if you get on board. No, he compelled them to get on board. He persuaded them to get on board. Thank God that reminds me of old-time Holy Ghost conviction. Thank God for the kind of conviction that will cause you and I to get on board. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. Thank God for old-time Holy Ghost conviction. You can't drown it in a cup of coffee. You can't go home and drown it with a six-pack of beer. It'll go home with you. It'll go to bed with you. It'll get up with you. It'll go to work with you. It'll go back to the house with you. It'll stay on you till you find yourself in that altar saying, God, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus, save my soul. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't have to go to hell, thank God. You can be born again. You can be born again. You can be saved. Salvation for the voyage. You know, talking about, oh yeah, I was coming right through Jonesville. I thought it was interesting in light of what I was planning on preaching. There was a sign in front of one of them little churches over there. And that sign said, and I can't even remember what it said. I should have written it down. I ought have known I'm 70 years old. But what it was saying, in essence what it was saying that one of the, you know, biggest problems, in other words, that people have is delaying getting saved. There's an old fable, and it's just a fable now. I heard the great evangelist back years ago, E.J. Daniels. Boy, he was powerful. I went and heard him under a huge tent. But E.J. Daniels used this fable. He said one time the devil called for a meeting. He got some of his wisest demons together. He wanted to figure out a way to get more people in hell. So when the floor was open, one old demon rose to his feet and said, Master, talking about the devil. He said, I move that we tell people that there's no God. If they don't believe there's a God, then they won't prepare to meet him, and they'll go to hell. And the devil said, no, that'll fool some of them, but it won't fool enough of them. There's a lot of folks, they'll believe there's a God. Then another rose to his feet. And he said, let's tell them the Bible is not the Word of God. If they don't believe the Bible, they'll go to hell, because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The devil said, no, that'll fool some too, but there's some of them, they're just crazy enough to believe the Bible is the Word of God. Said, I won't fool enough of them. Then another rose to his feet. He said, let's tell them Jesus is not the Son of God. If they don't believe he's the Son of God, then they won't have a Savior. So when they die, they'll go to hell. Once again, he said, no, they'll fool some of them, but it won't fool enough of them. Then old demon rose to his feet. He was known for his strategy. He was known for his tactics. Settled it. Boy, it got deathly quiet as they waited to see what he's going to say. And here's what he said. He said, let's tell them there is a God. Let's tell them the Bible is the Word of God. Let's tell them Jesus is the Son of God. But let's tell them to have plenty of time. Let's tell them not to get in any hurry. Now, I'm going to tell you, hell's full of a lot of people who intended to get saved someday. I'll never forget when my family and I lived in North Georgia back years and years ago. And I would get out and knock on doors and tell people how to be saved, invite them to the church. I remember going to Edward Angel. That was his name, I remember. I remember going to Edward Angel's home again and again, and talking to him about Jesus, telling him how to be saved. And I always put it off. I remember talking to him, and it was very obvious to me. I looked in his countenance. I could tell the Lord was dealing with him. But he wouldn't do anything. The next thing you know, On this given day, it was really foggy. He drove one of them great big old 18-wheelers hauled logs for Mashburn Lumber Company in Calhoun, Georgia. He came on a bridge. He didn't know it. And all that fog, he couldn't see good. But they had that bridge shut down with just one lane. They was working on that bridge. And at the same time, he came on one end. There was one of those great big 18-wheeler trucks hauling big old load of chicken feed. You know, there's a lot of chicken houses over there in that part of the country. And they come on that bridge and didn't see one another in that fog. And all of a sudden, they hit head on. I got the picture. It may be in this Bible. I can't remember where I've got it, but I got it. The newspaper clipping. When that feed truck hit that truck with them logs on it, them logs came all the way over to that truck down on the cab and off on the pavement. But that it showed it in that picture, that feed truck being an 18-wheeler too, drove that motor. That Edward Angel was driving that truck, in that truck he was driving, drove that motor all the way up in the seat where he was at and just crushed it. I remember trying to comfort his wife at the funeral home. She asked me a question. She said, he didn't have time to suffer, did he? I said, I don't think he did. I don't think he did. I don't think he suffered. Then that second question she asked me, and I'll just be honest with you, I refused to answer. She was already hurting, and I just couldn't do it. I didn't have the heart to do it. She said, Brother Taylor, you had time to repent. You had time to get saved, didn't you? See, she was a Christian. I just dropped my head. You know anything about the Bible? You know a man don't get saved just like that. No, I don't believe he had time to get saved. And I hate to say it, but I believe that man's in hell right now. Boast not thyself of them all, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And so, come out salvation for the voyage. Then next of all, notice sanctification on the voyage. The Bible says again in verse 45, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship to go. To get in to go. Not to get in to stay, but to get in to go. To get in to go. That's sanctification for the voyage. I think some people are still in the harbor. I don't think they've left yet. And I think some of them don't even plan on leaving. Teach us Bible. Teach us not only positional sanctification, but progressive sanctification. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God help us, I hope we're growing. We sing that song, pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Well, are we? We sang that song, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Is he? Is he? See? God help us. This is not the Christian life. Thank you, God. Thank you for saving my soul. Goodbye. I'll see you when we get to heaven. That ain't the Christian life. I never forget, not long after God saved me, probably less than 2 years after God saved me, this preacher got up and preached. I never heard a message quite like that before. He said the Christian life is more like a thoroughfare than a parking lot. There ain't no parking lot. I'm going to tell you, too, nature pulls a vacuum. You'll go forward. I'm telling you, you'll go forward or you'll go backwards. You'll backslide. I'm telling you, you'll backslide. They picked up these oars, the Bible says down here in verse 48, and he saw them toiling and what? Rowing. They picked up the oars and they were rowing. Now we don't row to get to heaven or no. We row because we're going to heaven. Woo! But we need to pick up the oar of prayer. We need to pick up the oar of Bible study and Bible reading. We need to pick up the oar of church attendance. We need to pick up the oar of giving. We need to pick up the oar of soul winning. Right. You know, there were some unusual fellows on that boat. One of them was Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas. When that storm got to raising, Thomas probably took his oar and throwed it down and said, boys, what's the use? We're going to go to the bottom anyway. But John, oh, John, he probably said, no, don't give up so quick. No, let's keep going. Keep going. See, he's already told us we're going the other side. Woo! Sanctification on the voyage. I think of what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Paul said, work out your own salvation. We don't work for it, but we work it out. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Now you watch this. I heard a preacher say one time, great preacher, I love him, but we've all got blind spots. Ain't none of us perfect. And he made this statement. He said, God worked it in when you got saved. Now God wants you to work it out. Wait a minute. God did work it in when we got saved, but he keeps on working it in. Amen. Woo! I'm not trying to be smart. I just want to be a blessing. But you've got verb tense in the Greek text. I'm talking about the Textus Receptus, from which that King James Bible comes from. Don't worry. Don't get nervous. I'm King James top of my head, bottom of my feet. Amen. But that toiling and rowing right there, it's a present tense in the Greek text, which is habitual, continuous action in the present. See. But anyway, coming back, where we were. When the Bible says God worketh, that's a verb. In us both to will, that's a verb. To do, a verb. There's three verbs there. All three of them are present tense in the Greek text. In other words, God's constantly working in us to will and to do. When I got up this morning, God put the desire in my heart to read the Bible and pray. When I get up in the morning, God will put the desire in my heart to read the Bible and pray. If you and I really surrender all, it's not our responsibility to get up that desire. That's God's. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God! See, the carnal mind's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But if you and I see we're crucified with Christ and reckon ourselves dead and get out of the way and let Jesus live to us, I'm telling you what, He'll put His desires in your heart and you won't have any problem wanting to go to church and read the Bible and pray and stay right. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the Lamb family. Yes, sanctification for the voyage. He's in there. Galatians 2:20 is my life text. I love that verse. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth where not just in heaven. Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm telling you, if you and I have been crucified with Christ and buried, who do you think's on the inside to live in place of that dead self life? Jesus says. Woo! You know he didn't come in to watch the show. He came in to run the show. He didn't come in to loaf. He came in to live. 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 Let him live. Hallelujah. Woo! I mean, all of God's on the inside of me and you. You study that Bible, you'll find God's in us, the Holy Ghost is in us, and Jesus is in us. That's enough to get the job done. Hallelujah. Hebrews tells us he works in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight. You can't do that, but the God on inside of me and you can do it. Salvation for the voyage. Sanctification on the voyage. Thirdly, supplication for the voyage. Notice verse 46. When he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Supplication. See what happened to Jesus after Jesus died and was buried and arose and ascended. He went back to the right hand of the throne of God and on authority of the Word of God. You know what he's doing? He's up there praying. Just like he went up in this mountain here to pray. Oh, I think about, what is it? Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Seeing he ever what? Liveth to make intercession for him. I'm telling you, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is praying for me and you right now. Oh, hallelujah. Not only is Jesus praying for you, but the Holy Ghost is praying for you. That's Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth thy infirmities. For we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So Jesus is interceding for us, and the Holy Ghost is interceding for us. The truth of the matter is, we got an advocate here and an advocate there. Amen. Dr. R.A. Toro was a prayer warrior. He was a great evangelist. He was one of D.L. Moody's contemporaries. And R.A. Toro said this. He said, at one time there must have been 40,000 people praying for me. Well, that's a lot. He said, but if I had a choice of those 40,000 and Jesus and the Holy Ghost praying for me, he said, I'll take Jesus and the Holy Ghost. Woo! You get in a storm. They were in a storm. You get in a storm, you might say, I don't believe anybody's praying for me. I beg your pardon. Jesus is praying for you. The Holy Spirit is praying for you. And I really do believe God hears their prayers. Woo! Hallelujah! 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 Glory! Let me hurry up. Next of all, there's storms on this voyage. Notice the Bible says in verse 48, he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. You're not going to go very far in this life. You won't go very far in this voyage before you run into some contrary wind. I've run into it. You've run into it. And we'll probably run in some more before we get out of here. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If God were to show me and you what we got to go through between now and the grave, or between now and the time Jesus comes, we might not have enough strength to walk out from under this. And I'm glad he don't do that. Woo. I'm glad we just got to take it one day at a time. The Bible says, take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's no need of trying to bar tomorrow's problems and worries and storms. And God's going to give you grace for today. So don't get looking off down the road for problems, because he's not giving you grace for tomorrow yet. Tomorrow's not here yet. He'll give you grace today, and when tomorrow comes, he'll give you grace. See, you might say, well, I just don't see how I'm going to be able to stand if he puts any more on me. Well, it reminds me of a true story. Back during the days of the Inquisition, back during the days when they burned people at the stake. I'm talking about burning Christians at the stake. This man was in his cell there, this Christian, waiting to be burned at the stake. And he was nervous. He was just tore up. And there was a candle in there. And he would go over and take his finger and just barely stick it in that flame, see if he was going to be able to stand it. And boy, it burns. And he'll say, I'm not going to be able to take it. I'm not going to be able to stand it. But when it came time for them to burn him at the stake, he sung while they was burning him. You know the reason why I come? That one little flame hurt and burned him. When he stuck it in there, it wasn't time to burn. God wasn't going to give him grace for that. That was a lack of faith. That was not trusting God. Storms on the boat. One of the greatest Christians I ever met was Dr. James W. Crocker. He was president of Maranatha Mission Board in Natchez, Mississippi. Pastored Westside Baptist Church there, a great church, for over 50 years. He preached a message one time, and he entitled it, Heartaches on the Road to Heaven. There's a lot of heartaches. And he preached a message one time, and it was this: to be forewarned is to be forearmed. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. See, if you expect suffering, if you expect trials and to come, you may not get hurt. You was prepared for it. But if you don't expect it, if you listen to some of them crazy folks on television talk about all this health and wealth and so forth and so on, you listen to some of that stuff, and you get to thinking, that you can't get sick and it's not God's will for you to ever get sick, then when it comes, you may shipwreck. There's a lot of suffering in this life. He just told me outside, Brother Philip told me about his sister. And I've been praying for her daily. I didn't realize that she's down to just skin and bones. And she's dying. We got three people in our church right now with cancer. Three. My wife went to the doctor back here. Oh, it's been months ago now. Lo and behold, they had to perform three surgeries in one day on her. Better now, thank you, Jesus. The Apostle Paul was probably the greatest Christian ever lived, but you read the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he suffered from a thorn in the flesh. Furthermore, you just read the chapters before that and look at all that man went through. He's beaten. Listen, he was beaten with a cat of nine tails a number of times, beaten with rods, put in prison. I just see him over there in jail and the devil climbing upon his back and saying, Paul, I thought God loved you. Romans 5:8, but God commends his love towards us in it while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. God commends his love. That means he proved it. Don't you ever let the devil tell you a lie. Don't you listen to the devil's lies when he tells you God doesn't love you because he let your baby die. Or because he let your husband or wife die. Or your pastor die, one of your best friends. Don't you listen to the devil. He's a liar and a father. Yeah, the devil say, if God loved you, he wouldn't let your baby die. You point him to the cross now. See, the proof of God's love is right there on the cross. Jesus loved me, just I know why, for the Bible tells me so. No matter what you and I go through, I'm telling you, God loves me and you. How much does he love us? Well, you read Jesus' intercessory prayer in John 17. He said that the world may know that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. God loves me and you. I know it. I don't understand it. It's hard to fathom. But God loves me and you just as much as he loves Jesus. That's the book. That's the book. So don't charge God foolishly. That's what the devil tried to get Job to do. Old Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. See, it reminds me of a true story. This really happened. This woman was talking to her pastor, I believe it was, and she said, what was God when my son died? And he just very humbly said this. He was in the same place that he was when his son died. Heartaches on the road to heaven. Y'all know me. I've preached in your churches and I've preached here. Y'all know that I've had some health problems. I've had 6 breakdowns of tick fever nearly killed me years ago. I've had all kinds of problems. I've had my heart stop and then it start back. It stop and it start back. And then it get out of rhythm. It's done that 5 different times. It just race and then all of a sudden it just almost stopped. And then take off again and all kinds of problems, you know. But I've been preaching for years and years. God's strength is made perfect in weakness. And I have a message entitled The Principle of Broken is how God has to break us. God had to break Jacob in order to bless Jacob. And I don't hardly ever tell this. I just don't hardly ever tell it. But I want to tell you something of what I think was behind a lot of them breakdowns. Early in my Christian life, early in my ministry, I saw that principle, the principle of brokenness. I saw that God breaks people who he uses is the is the great man of God. He said, if a man God's ever used, he had to wound him deeply first. So I just started praying. That's nearly 50 years ago. I said, God, I pray God break me, God. Break me. Now, buddy, I'm going to tell you something. There's been times when I thought I'd bit off more than I could chew. And I don't pray that much anymore. After six breakdowns, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm no spring chicken. I'm 70 years old. And about 4 months ago, God shot this country boy. Woo! I don't know what brought it on. I want to thank just the grace of God, because I firmly believe this whole thing's by grace. This Christian life commences by grace. It continues by grace, and it consummates by grace. You say, why? That no flesh should go in his presence. God can't stand pride. God hates pride. God wants you and I to keep our hands off his glory. He said, my glory will I give unto no man. But I'm telling you, about 4 months ago, something happened. I started feeling better spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally. And if there's any other ways, them ways too. And Brother Philip, to God be the glory. And I'm going to share this because it might encourage some of you. So some of you, your hair's getting white like my handkerchief. People think I put dye on my hair. No, I don't do it. My mama's hair never did turn. My wife's hair is solid white. I let her do all the work. No, that ain't so. That ain't so. But to God be all the glory. Here I am, 70 years old. I've had six breakdowns. The tick fever nearly killed me. All those problems. No spring chicken. Many miles behind me. Yet to God be the glory. I'm having some of the best days right now that I've had in my whole life. And don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Your best days may not be behind you. They may be ahead of you. Woo! God bless the latter end of Job more than his beginning. You remember that miracle over there in John 2? Jesus turned that water into wine. And that man said, hey, you saved the best wines of life. Yeah, that's the way God does. Woo! Amen. I'm telling you, your best days may be ahead of you. And it's certainly, and your best days are certainly ahead of you when you die and go to heaven. God be all the glory. I've never enjoyed preaching more. I've never enjoyed going to church more. I've never enjoyed reading my Bible, studying, and I've never enjoyed praying more. Amen. The grace of God. It's you, God. It ain't me. I'm nothing. Nothing. Just clay and pour clay up there. God. Let me hurry and get on. I know you probably want to go ahead. Go home. You're probably hot. I hope and get on. Next of all, there's security for the voice. Notice the Bible says in verse 45, it's straight where he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida. To go to the what? Not to go to the bottom. No, to go to the other side. Everyone that got on that boat, when they got to the shore on the other side, got off the boat. They didn't lose a one. Jesus said, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I'll no wise cast out. And over there in John 17, Jesus said, I've lost none save the son of perdition, Judas. He was never saved, though. He was never saved. So you can forget about going to the bottom if you're saved. You ain't going to the bottom. You're going to the other side. On this old ship of Zion, I ain't never one time in 50 years of being saved, I've never heard anybody up in the crow's nest saying, man overboard, man overboard. You can forget it, you ain't going to hear that. Oh no, I don't know. I don't know what all happened in that boat. Oh no, it may have fell down a few times, but it sure never fell out. Woo! They went through a big severe storm, boy. A flood. Destroyed everybody, everything. But the same folks that got on that boat, 8 souls, got off on Mount Ararat. You know what's going to happen? When you come out of your storm, you're going to probably wind up a mountain just like they did. Woo! Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. Security, security for the boy. Some preacher put it like this. He said, I'm so eternally secure, I could swing out over hell on a rotten corn stalk singing Amazing Grace. Well, amen, you're just that secure. You couldn't get lost if you wanted to if you're saved. All right, I'm about done. Last of all, second coming of Christ at the end of the voyage. Notice the Bible says, verse 48, and he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea. Notice the Bible says, he cometh unto them. It was the fourth watch. So he came when it was late. That's the last watch from 3 in the morning to 6, just before daybreak. I believe we're in the fourth watch. I believe the two most significant signs of the soon return of Jesus Christ is the restoration of the nation of Israel and the reunification of Europe. God said them Jews would go home. They're going home. There's not as many going home right now as there has been. There's about 1,000 a week going home right now. But two of the most significant things so far as Jewish history is concerned happened in the lifetime of some of us. Happened in my lifetime. Because I was born in 1946, and in 1948 for the first time in, oh my, 2,000 years over. They raised that flag with the 6-point star of David on it over that land and was recognized by America and Europe and others as a nation among nations. God said they'd go home. God said a nation shall be born in the day. Immediately, 6 Arab nations attacked. They had an untrained army, poor weapons, old Italian weapons, and 2 airplanes. But I give you one guess as to who won that war. The same ones who's won it ever since. There are not enough Catholics, not enough communists. There are not enough Muslims in the world to destroy God's chosen people, the Jews. If they can't destroy them Jews when they're returning in unbelief, still in unbelief, then I believe he can take care of the church. You say, I believe the church is going under. I believe the church is ceasing to go up. You say, I believe the church is going out of business. I believe she's ceasing to really get in business. Woo! Woo! Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. While we're yonder in China right now, where they have suffered and suffered and suffered at the hands of the communists, there are millions of Christians over there that have been saved by the grace of God. Really? Power. Devil ain't going to back God in the corner. then the reunification of Europe, which I believe with all my heart is the revived Roman Empire. You steady 10 toes on the battalion man in Daniel 2 and 10 horns on the fourth beast in Daniel 7. And that's talking about the revival of Europe, the revived Roman Empire, and those nations over there in the European Union. Some of those countries, some of those nations exist on some of the same territory that the old Roman Empire existed on. By the way, while I'm on this, you know, we're talking about them Jews being back home. You got 144,000 Jews saved in Revelation chapter 7. There's roughly some 6 million Jews over there right now while we're having this service. It'd be no problem, none whatsoever, for God to get 144,000 converted Jews out of some 6 million Jews that's already over there. Woo! I'm telling you, the stage is set for Jesus to come back. I'm no date setter, but I believe this thing is about over. Yes. Ready or not, Jesus is coming. If the rapture, I believe the next major prophetic event on God's timetable is the rapture of the church. Jesus could come any moment. The Bible teaches the imminent return of our Lord. That means He could come any moment. There's signs of the second coming, but there's no signs of the rapture. But if the signs of the second coming are already in the air, then how near must be the rapture? Because it's at least 7 years before the second coming. I believe Enoch is the type of the rapture. The Bible says, he was not. So God took him. And the Bible said he was not found. Apparently they looked for him. And I believe when the rapture takes place, I believe it'll be the greatest manhunt in the history of this world. Now I'm closing. But right now my heart, it's burning for somebody's loss. I believe when the rapture takes place, I believe that there'll be some people, even church members, left behind. Jesus said there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob enter the kingdom of heaven, you yourself thrust out. Yeah, weeping and gnashing of teeth. I believe there'll be church members get on the phone and call the pastor's home. And the phone rings and rings, but he never picks up the receiver. Why? He's gone. His wife's gone. And you're left behind. I believe there'll be people run down to the pastor's home knocking on the door. Preacher, 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 where's everybody at? But he doesn't answer the door. His wife doesn't answer the door. Why? They're gone. And you're left behind. And I believe there'll be, for an example, I believe there'll be teenagers running through the house, screaming and hollering, weeping and crying, and saying, where's my mama? Where's my mama? Where's my mama? Where's my mama? She's gone and you're left behind. You better make sure you're born again. You better make sure you're saved. If Jesus were to come back tonight, what would happen to all you on this side? Again, if Jesus were to come back tonight, what would happen to all you on this side? Would you stand your feet, head bowed, eyes closed? The musicians have come, the song leader come with a number. I have a word of prayer with you while they're getting ready. Some of you may want to come on the altar while I'm praying. Oh, God help us, it's a serious business. Oh, God help us. God, Father, please, God. Father, in Jesus' name, God, I beg you, God, if there's one here lost, please, God, if there's one in the Lord, save that soul. God, don't let anybody here get left behind. Don't let anybody here go to hell. Please, God. Father, those of us that are already saved, give us a greater burden, a greater love for lost souls. Help stand between the living and the dead, stand in the gap, make up the hedge. Please, God, give Jesus souls for our labor. Father, do what we can, try to keep people from going to hell. Oh, God, please send revival in our day and time. Send mighty revival. God, send revival right here. Oh, speak, Holy Ghost. Speak, God. Jesus.